Assalamu alaikum and welcome to our 118th episode of ABC Islam and our 83rd episode of our second series, Islamically Independent. We are two Muslim sisters who are the ABCs of Islam all the way to XYZ. Today we're talking about a very important topic as usual, and that is all about how to deal with peer pressure. Now, this is a time when a lot of students are going back to school or work, or you might even have started and moved into a new school or work, and you may have made new friends. And we all know that this is a time where you're meeting new people and perhaps you face something known as peer pressure. Now, if you don't know what peer pressure is, we are going to be discussing exactly what it is. And in this podcast episode, inshallah, we'll be covering number one, what is peer pressure and why is it toxic? Number two, how do you know you're being peer pressured? Number three, what does Islam say about peer pressure? Number four, how to help someone who is being peer pressured? And number five is how to deal with peer pressure yourself. So hopefully these are the topics that we're going to be covering. It's going to, inshallah, be a lengthy and informative episode, and hopefully will help all of you out, inshallah. So, but of course, we know that there is also a co-host alongside me over here, and that is my Muslim and biological sister. Mm-hmm. And how are you doing today? And how do you feel about making today's podcast episode?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing amazingly well. And this episode is very relatable to myself when I was a teenager, and even now when I feel pressured by my friends or the people around me. This is a really good episode for all of us who face these kind of situations where we feel like that we should be conforming to everyone's situation, standards, morals and values. And when should we have to balance it out with our Islamic, you know, Muslim kind of values versus the secular ones. So this is hopefully will be very useful for all of us, inshallah.
Absolutely, inshallah, it will be very, very good. And obviously, if you would like to know more about us, and of course, I'm doing well as well. Alhamdulillah, I know my sister doesn't have manners, she doesn't ask back. But anyways, if you would like to know more about us, then please check out our trailer or alternative description box below. But anyways, we're going to get right into it. So the first question that I would like to ask my sister here is, what really is peer pressure and why is peer pressure toxic?
So peer pressure is basically when a group of people usually, or a person even, is telling you to do something or believe in something that you do not actually believe in or you don't want to do, but you feel pressured to actually, undertake that act or believe in that something. So this could be, for example, let's say if somebody comes to me and they say that they're forcing me to literally believe, or they're trying to push on me by saying that LGBT is a halal thing, and they're basically pressurizing me to believe that, but I don't want to. And that's basically peer pressuring. Now, it's basically in a way like a conforming to societal norms, standards and morals and values. And this goes back to, for example, the best example I can give is LGBT, for example, because all around us in the UK, for example, everybody's trying to embrace, you know, LGBT, every LGBT is perfect and all those kind of things. But if I conform to those kind of societal norms and values and, you know, societal rules, then obviously I'm going to be falling back on my Muslim or Islamic values, which is obviously not going to make me feel good. Another way to actually put this as peer pressure is actually toxic is because it's making you do something or believe in something that you don't want to, and that's basically involuntary. This is not something that you're trying to do yourself, voluntarily, and you are actually consenting to this kind of belief or act. So it's very important that we know what is peer pressure in the first place and why peer pressure is toxic, which hopefully I've covered in this few seconds. But now I'm going to be moving on to my sister, who will explain how do you know actually you're feeling peer pressure, especially if you've been with a group of people, let's say for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And you have a very deep bond. How do you know if the peer pressurizing you in something?
I completely agree, because, you know, it is very, very possible. I think a lot of people think from movies and social media that peer pressure can only occur through strangers or through people you meet new. But what you might not realize is that this is a time where a lot of people are starting school, and, you know, they're either making new friends, or the friends that they have right now, they're starting to realize that actually these are not really your friends, because even if you've been with them for many years, like, you know, let's say you started year 7 with them in UK, it's basically like when you're 11 years old and you start school, and let's say you're starting now year 11 and you spend, let's say, 4 or 5 years with the same group of friends, but you realize that they are peer pressuring you, as my sister said, and making you do things you don't want to do or that is not right for you. And you need to realize that nothing positive is gained through force, and that, you know, you need to realize that, of course, it's going to be very negative. And I think that if you want to know the three main signs that I thought of in terms of peer pressure, is number one, when you actually just have this like honest feeling inside you is basically your intuition or your gut feeling telling you that what you are basically doing is not right. You know, for example, whether it is someone persuading you in the extreme side to take drugs or to believe in LGBT, as my sister said, or even in the smallest of things, like, for example, telling you to go out after school when you actually don't want to, you want to go home and study, or you have to go and help your mom. And, you know, they're telling you that, no, just come out for 1 hour. And then you end up spending like 5 hours outside and coming back late at night and falling behind on your homework, and everything goes a bit weird. So you need to realize that's one of the ways. And the second sign that you might be getting peer pressured is also when you actually it goes against your own values. And I think everyone has, again, their own set of values. I think one that is very common amongst the Muslim community is obviously no drinking alcohol. And if, let's say, you go to a prom or a party or something like that with all of your friends and you have non-Muslims, it is very inevitable, especially if you're an adult in the workplace, that someone will tell you to go and drink alcohol, like, just have one sip, no one's looking, God's not looking, or some random rubbish they say sometimes. And you're like, no, God is always watching, and you know that it's going against your values. And the third sign, of course, of peer pressure is also the fact that sometimes they use manipulative statements. A very, very common one is actually, for example, if you love me, you will do this. You will do it if for my sake. When they say these kind of statements, I know you might think that, oh, but my mom says these statements as well. Like, you know, if you love me, go and clean the kitchen. And, you know, you think that that is also manipulation, but of course, there's a huge difference. And again, you will have this gut feeling, you will know the difference. Because if your friend is telling you that I will only be your friend if you have this drug with me right now, or I'll only be your friend if you, let's say, also, I don't know, stay up till 6 o'clock waiting for me after school. Like, if they make conditions on your friendship, and it's also, you know, you're not harming them as well, then this is just honestly manipulative, and it's definitely peer pressure.
I think that was a really good way for to summarize for all of us listening to this, that how do you know you're actually feeling peer pressured? And I think the last one especially is a really good one, because you might think that it's very funny at the beginning to hear manipulative statements and you can just brush them off. But if they keep, you know, keep consistent with those statements, it can actually make you feel very guilty, which is why you end up doing something that you don't want to do, or you start believing something that you don't actually believe. So I think that was a really good way to actually put it out all out there. And now I'm going to be moving on to a really good question that I want to ask my sister again. I think so. And that is basically, what does Islam say about peer pressure? And now we had to do research about this, but it all comes down to one thing from my side. But I want to know what my sister has to say about this.
So I actually got a Quranic statement. So this is actually from the Quran. It's from chapter 12, verse 103. And I quote, "Most people, no matter what you do, will not believe," end quote. Now, this is actually a very powerful statement. And I actually also read an interpretation of what the statement means. And essentially what the statement means is that whatever you do in life, there are always going to be some people who are not going to agree with you, and they're not going to understand where you're coming from, and they will not even try to understand where you're coming from. Like, yes, there'll be some people who actually try to hear you out and try to listen to your views and try to see where you're coming from and your perspective, but they're just going to be some of those people who are just not even going to try to understand. They're just going to, essentially what the Quran says, they're going to be deaf, dumb and blind. That's literally how they are. So, you know, there are just going to be some people who just don't want to listen. And that's completely okay, because we know we got a trigger warning from the Quran right there, because we know that Allah told us that, you know, you're always going to have haters, essentially, especially if you're doing the good, especially if you're becoming successful. And I think majority of people are actually scared of being successful because they're scared with all of the effects that comes with it. For example, hate, for example, criticism, for example, you know, slander. Sometimes people will spread rumors about you which are not even true, just because you're successful and just because they're jealous. And what you need to understand is that no matter what you do, as it says in the Quran, some people will just not believe, and some people will just, like, in terms of Islam, but also it means that there are always going to be some people that don't like you. So whenever you feel peer pressured and you're trying to fit in, you're trying to conform, and you're trying to essentially say that, oh, like, I'm never going to make any friends if I stick with my own beliefs, I have to go and, you know, stick to other people's beliefs, that is completely not true. In the end of the day, number one, in 5 years time, none of this is going to matter. You're going to actually laugh it off. And if you do things that you're going to regret in the future, then actually it's going to make you feel upset rather than happy that you conformed. And secondly is that in 5 years time, as I said, no one will actually remember you anyways, unless of course like they come and see your face on YouTube or on your website or something like that. But otherwise, no one really like cares. Everyone's minding their own business, and people, there is this effect where some people believe there's a spotlight effect where they think that everyone's watching them all the time, and that's not true. No one's watching you. So that is really a scientific and Islamic perspective on peer pressure.
I think that was again a very good way to state that no matter what you do, people will not believe you and people will try to listen to you. And there are some things that we should also learn ourselves, because sometimes no matter what people say to us about, let's say, LGBT, again, I'm going to give that example. No matter what people give you statistics that, oh yeah, LGBT is a gene, it's not actually something that you learn through experience. No matter what these kind of stuff that they say, you know that Allah doesn't make any mistakes and you should be actually not believing what they're saying in this case. But it all comes down to also, of course, strangers, but at the same time, our own friends can be the cause why we're feeling peer pressured, as we mentioned before. And this is where our hadith comes in, which I'm going to be stating to you all. And I quote in Tirmidhi, and I quote, "A man is upon the religion of his best friend, so let one of you look at whom he befriends," end quote. And this again goes back to the fact that my sister mentioned in one of the points before about the fact that, you know, the friends that you make and that you may have made for 10, 15 years, those can actually have a very big impact on your religion, on the kind of things that you believe in and what kind of things you value and what kind of things you think are halal and haram. Because sometimes one friend might think something is haram, but it's actually halal, but it's actually, and the other way around, of course. And this goes with, let's say, for example, a friend of yours that might be drinking, and they might say that, oh yeah, just don't worry, this is completely halal, man, I heard a masjid, you know, says that this is halal and so on, or shisha is halal, man, come on, man, why you not doing that for this, who, this particular imam said this, blah blah blah. They start quoting what their imam said in a particular time when they were a kid maybe or something like that. So that's what basically people start believing in, when we actually know what our religion says. And of course, this can be about anything, as we mentioned, but this can be for haram relationships, this could be for, you know, drugs, or, you know, getting in a fight or something like that, because some people can actually get into fights as well because of peer pressure. They just get into unnecessary fights. And we've always seen this on YouTube as well, where we see all this kind of fights between YouTubers and so on. That's actually another way of peer pressure. And we can also see from movies how haram relationships are glorified, and we get into those and we try to brush them off as we get into, you know real life, and we start getting to those things. So it's very important that the people that we associate ourselves with is very healthy, very spiritually awakened, and will take us to the right path as much as quickly and as much as possible. And yeah, that's basically my point that I would say about what does Islam say about peer pressure and why it matters on the people that you actually hang out with, whether they might be strangers, as my sister said, or even friends ourselves, like who we hang out with, as I said. But now moving on to the most important question, one of the most important questions in this podcast, which is all about how to deal with peer pressure on yourself. How can you deal it with yourself? If you, let's say, you had no one around you that you could trust and you had to deal with it by yourself, what would you do?
I think that's a very, very good question, because I'm aware that most of the time, unfortunately, there are many teenagers who have to face everything themselves, and they feel like they don't really have someone who can listen to them. So, for example, their parents, they might think that, oh, they're from another generation, they won't understand, even though they probably will most of the time. And secondly is, like, you know, teachers, they might be really strict and you don't really have necessarily a mentor. So here are my three golden steps that I would say if you're dealing with peer pressure of any sort and how to really think about it. The first step would be to see what does Islam say about that specific topic. Now, I know some of you might be listening to this, you might think that you're not that religious or that you're not a good Muslim. And number one, that is just honestly nonsense. You are a good Muslim if you are even trying your best. As long as you're trying, you're a good Muslim. And that's pretty much all of you listening to this podcast episode. And secondly is that you need to see what Islam says, because you need to obviously be aware, because we made one episode very recently about all the topics you should learn about before you go into school, for example, abortion, for example, LGBT, for example, opposite gender and how to deal with them. There's so many things that we talked about, and you need to understand that these are things that, you know, you need to learn about so that you know exactly what Islam says. And number two, you then have to also make your own values, because as we said, there needs to be some flexibility and some balance. We don't don't want you to be extremely extreme, if that makes sense. Like, Islam is not a rigid religion where it's in the extreme side. It is all about balance and moderation. So you need to understand that you can then be flexible and make your own values on what you think is right for you and what is essentially right for that is right for you. So that would be my first golden step. The second golden step for peer pressure is to actually go ahead and really examine who is telling you all of these things. So if, for example, it is a friend that you've just met 2 weeks ago when you started school, and this friend is telling you that, oh my God, let's stay after school every day up till 5 o'clock. You know, we can chill, we can eat wings and chips, and, you know, we will just, you know, party and just have fun because, come on, it's only the first month of school. And you know that's not right for you. Let's say you have homework to do, you have chores to do at home, you know you have to be productive, you want to get good grades. Then, of course, you need to examine, is this person who is telling me right now, do they want the best for me? And you might think that yes, because they're my friend, they'll want the best for me, but has this person even known me? Do they even know my goals? Because a true friend is someone who will want to push you to achieve your goals. So do they even know my goals in the first place, number one? And number two is that, do they even know me as a person? Do they want the best for me? And number three is, how long have I even known this person? Is this person even important to me in my life? Like, asking yourself these questions will give you a reality check. I know that sometimes Shaitan will give you waswas and tell you that, of course, this is your friend, they want the best for you, stay after school. But you need to really be realistic with yourself, and I'm telling you, your gut feeling and intuition will be the answer and telling you what to do. And the third tip that I would give is to definitely make sure that you actually again, you need to really establish, I can't read my handwriting, but if I just move on to the third one, which I think is very, very important, I think that if you're still struggling with everything that's going on, I think that the best thing, which my sister also told me today, is to make sure you pray istikhara. Because istikhara is actually, if you don't know, it is actually a prayer that is used for making decisions. And whenever you have to make an important decision in your life, then it's basically there to guide you. And something I did not know, which I'd like to share with everyone, and I don't think my sister knows this either, is that istikhara is actually a prayer that is not allowed for if you're having to choose between halal and haram. So for example, if you're trying to make istikhara about, should I drink alcohol, you can't really do that. Shall I have shisha, or shall I whatever it is. Like, if it's between haram and halal, you don't pray istikhara for that. It has to be something like marriage, something like universities, which ones to apply to, job is one, you know, what career pathway to take, you know, for example, what house should I move into? I have two houses that I want to look into. Which one should I buy? Which car should I buy? You know, spouse is usually the biggest one that istikhara is used for, but there are so many other aspects, and you should do your research. It's literally only a 2 rakats prayer, and it's very simple, and you should just do your research, and this will guide you to making the right decision, because Allah will start to give you all the signs that what you're doing is right or wrong.
I think that was a really, really nice procedure and step-by-step guide on how to really deal with peer pressure. But of course, I'm going to give you guys all the other side of it, which is how to deal or how to really help someone who is getting peer pressured. Let's say if you're in a group setting and you see your friend getting peer pressured by another set of friends, what do you do as a third person in that situation? And if they come and seek your help, of course, you have not really much control in this in terms of how to really help that person, because ultimately everything is comes down to free will and so on. But what you can do is these three things that I would highly recommend for you to do. Number one is making sure that if that friend comes up to you and tells you all the problems that they're facing from another set of friends, and they're saying that, oh, you know what, they're pressurizing me to do this and so on, what should I do, and all those kind of things, in that case, the first thing that you should do is definitely listen to them and what they're saying and their viewpoint, how they're feeling, and let it all out. And obviously don't make them run to you for the next, like, let's say 5 hours about it, but obviously you're going to have like a time limit. Let's say 5 to 10 minutes is a good amount of time, or even 15, I would say, is maximum, depending on how much you can handle all the talking and everything and listening from that part. And that's also going to be a good practice for you as an individual for listening skills, which is very underrated nowadays. Number two is the thing that I would highly recommend for you to do is empathize with them and try to really understand how they're feeling and try to put yourself in their shoes, how they must be feeling if they're getting pressure to do something that they don't want to do, for example, drugs. How would you feel if somebody's pressurizing you to do drugs, especially when you don't want to go that way or in that direction? How would you feel? I would feel very like I'm in prison, or I'm set with rules that I don't want to follow, and I'm basically like in trapped. Prison basically. I'm very trapped basically. That's not how it feels. And you just empathize with them in that manner and try to really understand how they're feeling in that moment. And then at the end, after 15 minutes, let's say if they have stopped talking and you don't really know what to do in that situation, it becomes this very awkward silence. What you can do then is ask them, do you want my advice? Do you want a solution from me? Or you just wanted me to listen? Because in that way, you're not wasting your time, first of all, by giving your unnecessary, unsolicited advice that they didn't need, basically. They just wanted to vent it out to someone. And number two, it's gonna show that you respect them as well, because they're asking their opinion or their, you know, permission to give any kind of advice or solution that they want. And if they're willing to hear it, because some people are not willing to hear the advice, as honest as it sounds, but they're not everybody's willing to hear their follow it or listen to it. So you might as well just conserve your energy and ask them before if they want any advice, and that's what I would highly recommend.
Absolutely, I think that was a really good summary as well of what you should do. Of course, you can apply any of these tips, like swap them around and, you know, use it according to your situation. But hopefully, inshallah, this peer pressure episode really helped. But alhamdulillah, we have come to the end of our wonderful podcast episode today. We really hope that inshallah you've learned something new. Also, if you do not know, we upload every Friday, which is Juma Day, here on ABC Islam. So if you're excited, then please subscribe or follow us on podcast platforms such as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Most platforms are free and you don't even need to log on. Jazakallah khair for listening. May Allah bless us all, and we will inshallah see you next time. Assalamu alaikum.